You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Buying chametz at various stores, and more specifically, we're going to talk about corporations and chain stores as far as chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach. So what is the issur chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach? Let's open up to source number one. And there's a long gemara and a difficult gemara, which I really am not going to go through at all. But we'll just get a taste of what's happening from the source of number one. Let me just back up so we know what the shaila is. The shaila that really is the biggest shaila in the Northeast is because there's a very large distributing company to groceries that supply many of the large chains, including Target and including Stop and Shop. And this distribution company is called C&S. C stands for Cohn, S stands for Spiegel. Right? If there's ever a Jewish name, it's Cohn and Spiegel. So Cohn and Spiegel is the largest distributor, the third largest distributor to grocery stores in the country. I think the largest distributor in the Northeast. And they distribute all the groceries to Target and to Stop and Shop. Now, they have always been doing a Mechiras Chametz with Rabbi Teitz from Elizabeth. What we're going to talk about is the fact that that Mechira that they did the Mechira, but they still kept on running their business, including all the Cheerios and the donuts and the cakes and the cookies and the breads throughout Pesach, because it's not a religious company. So the question is going to be twofold. First of all, did that mess up their Mechira? Let me rephrase that. Did the selling and the fact that they were actively involved with Chametz all Pesach long show that the Mechira was bapkis? That's the first question. The second question is, did the fact that they continue to use and buy and sell Chametz after the Mechira, some of that material makes its way to our shelves in the various supermarkets, and maybe we're going to be getting those items that they sold or that they bought on Pesach, and obviously if they bought it on Pesach, then it's going to be definitely be Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach, because we only sell to a guy what we owned before Pesach. But let's say this CNS company bought $100,000 of Cheerios on the third day of Chol HaMoed. That's Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach. You go to Target next week, 2 weeks after Pesach, that's where the Cheerios are coming from. It's coming from the stuff that CNS bought in the middle of Pesach, which is definitely, without any question, Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach. So those are the issues that we really need to tackle. And we'll now learn the basics of Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach, so we'll be able to hopefully answer those questions with great intelligence and wisdom. The Mishnah tells us in Pesachim Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, in source number one, Chametz shel nachri, she'avar alav ha-pesach. If a guy has chametz on Pesach, mutar behana. After Pesach, you're allowed to derive hana. The poskim say that it's lav dafka, it means you're even allowed to eat it. So that means if you have a Chinese grocery store and they had Cheerios for the duration of Pesach, you could buy there without any questions. V'shel Yisrael, aser behana. Now before we read the next four words, I have to tell you a rule, which I mentioned downstairs one day this week. Mishnayis quo psukim, in two ways. Shenemar or mishum shenemar. Whenever it says shenemar, it's telling you that the din that we're learning is a din midah. Oraisa, because it's quoting a pasuk. If it tells you in the Mishnah, it says a halacha mishum shenemar. Rabbi Shechter pointed out on the tape that I heard this week, mishum shenemar means because of that which it says in the Torah, but it's not really d'oraisa. It's just a din d'rabbanan. That's not smachta. That's a remez. That's hinted. That's based on. With that in mind, let's look at this Mishnah. Mishnah says if you have Yisrael, chametz shel Yisrael she'avar alav ha-pesach, it's aser behana. After Pesach, it's not only also b'achila, you can't even sell it, you can't even feed it to your dog. Shenemar, what does that sound like? Sounds like a din d'oraisa. Lo yirah l'chasar. So the mashmas of the Mishnah is that Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach is an iser midah oraisa. And that's indeed what the Gemara says in various shitos in the Gemara, that it might be there's an iser d'oraisa, it might say the iser Chametz is repeated numerous times. One time to refer to Erev Pesach, one time to refer to on Pesach, one time referring to Chametz after Pesach. So the Issur Chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach, clearly you see from this Mishnah, is an Issur d'oraisa. That means all the shilas that we get, that I get this past week or two, past week and next week, of could I go here or there, it's an Issur Israel of an Issur d'oraisa. If a Jew, Taka, one of these Jewish companies, or a Jewish distributor, had Chametz in their possession, we're dealing with an Issur d'oraisa. I might have caught you off guard because that's not what you thought when you came in tonight. And that's because of the conclusion of the Gemara, which is not like what I just told you. The conclusion of the Gemara is that the way to read this Mishnah, there are many ways to read this Mishnah, is that the right way to read it is according to opinion named Reb Shimon. And let's see how the Rif summarizes the conclusion of this Gemara that is very involved, which we will not go into. Says the Rif in source number 2. Our Mishnah, it doesn't go according to the opinion who says that Chametz Sh'av Alav HaBesel is Daraisa. Rather, it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. To Amar, Bein Lifnei's Mano, Bein La'achas Mano, Chametz before Pesach and Chametz after Pesach, Eino over Alav V'lo Klum, there's no Issa Daraisa. And therefore, it theoretically should be Mutter. Ubedinhu Da'afil Shal Yisrael Nami, even if you have Jewish Chametz, Pesach that Jew on Pesach, Lachar Pesach should be mutter. Ella hai de kasani shal Yisrael. Also, that which our mission says that it's also is because of, I underlined it, knasahu de kakanis Reb Shimon. There's a knas that this mission is teaching us. Ho va'avra la b'alira b'ayimatzi. When the Mishnah tells you, v'shenemar, it's not telling you it's a din d'oraisa, it's telling you it's a knas midrabanan, that you can't buy chametz after Pesach. Why did they make a knas? They made a knas because Shneamar, not that the Shneamar is not saying why there's an Isser to eat this chametz. The Shneamar is telling you why they made their knas. They made their knas, Shneamar, because the Jew violated by Rabbi Matzah. Now, what we have to sort of think about is what would be if you have chametz of a Jew that he didn't violate by Rabbi Matzah. How could you have chametz of a Jew and the Jew didn't violate Bayirah Bayimatzeh on this chametz? Then it's not chametz of a Jew.
What?
Then it's not chametz of a Jew if he made it hefker.
According to one number, the Torah puts it back into the Rishus as long as it hasn't been claimed. There is, I believe there's a Gemara that says that.
Okay, I hear.
How about if it's in the Mashmah Rishus of God?
If it's under the if it's a belongs to a Jew but it's hufkad to a guy, so it's a Jew's, but there's no Bayi Rabbi Matzah on it. Okay.
You didn't know about it. You didn't realize you had it.
So you still got an Aveira, no? What you might be referring to is Anus. You're honest. So if you own chametz on Pesach that you didn't know about, so you violated an aveira without knowing about it. If you, we're not talking about you did mechira. If you did mechira, then you don't own it.
Your question was, how could it be that?
How could there be a situation where you could have a Jew owning chametz and not violating Bal Yira?
Well, here's your possibility. You didn't realize it was chametz.
So he probably does violate Bayura, no? So what about a scenario that I... What?
He sells the chametz.
Then it's not his.
No, it's
Jews. So we have to have a Jew's chametz. So one scenario I mentioned this week during between Mincha Marav one day this week is what happens if there's a case, God, which I told you is a real case. My brother-in-law was the assistant rabbi of the Rav in New Jersey who suffered a stroke on Erev Pesach. And he was unconscious. And the problem was not just for him, it was for his whole community. He was supposed to meet the guy, and that's how they found out that the rabbi had a stroke, because the guy called up and said, "Where's the rabbi? He's an hour late." They found out that he had a stroke late last night. He was in the hospital, and that's how my brother-in-law got a lot of shemesh, unfortunately, in a very short time, because the rabbi who he was apprenticing under, he had to take over for everything immediately without knowing really what to do. So this really happened, honest. So if a person, God forbid, was supposed to sell his chametz, do whatever to his chametz, he's standing by the beer, and he, God forbid, something happens, and he doesn't burn his chametz, he doesn't sell his chametz, so he violated by Rabbi Matzah, the onus. So we have to figure out, what's the halach of an onus? Is the halach of an onus that you did violate by Rabbi, or that you didn't violate by Rabbi? Let's say it is a violation, but we're not angry at you. The Chacham would make a knas on this person because you violated Bal Yira Bal Matzah, you didn't take care of your chametz. We're going to make this chametz off limits forever. Would they do that? Okay, let's see what we find. The Ran explains the few lines of the riff that we just learned. And the Ran makes a few points. Let's just go through a few of the points of the Ran so we can have a general perspective of what are the halachos of Bayra Bayamatze. So in source number 3, let's go to the second paragraph. I spoke out the first paragraph, or I go to the second paragraph. When we say that there's a knas, what's the point of a knas? The point of a knas is to punish somebody. You violated, you kept your chametz, so we're going to punish you. So how do you punish somebody? You tell him, well, we have a similar halakha by Shabbos, Maisa Shabbos. If you cook up some food on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to eat that food, maybe even forever, because you did it on Shabbos, we make a knas. So to take away any benefit that you potentially might derive from doing this, so we take away any potential benefit you might derive, so there's no motivation for you to do it in the first place. No reason for you to cook on Shabbos, because even if you do, we're not going to let you eat it. There's no reason for you to keep your chametz, because even if you keep your chametz, you don't want to part with it, we're not going to let you get hana afterwards. The question is, how far is this knas going to go? Is it only going to be, if it's a knas, it should make it usur for you. But what about for everybody else? That's the question that we have to see. Look at what the Ran says in the second paragraph of source number 3. Udamrina knasahu de kakanis. When we said there's a knas for a person who owned chametz on Pesach, labladi de bilchud, davidi sura, hu de kakanis. Not only for the transgressor who kept the chametz in his own property, it's even also for other people. And we'll see the Rai in a moment. You should just know, there is an opinion, I wrote it in English, there's a phantom Rabbeinu Manoach. Somewhat of a collector's item, it's not really a mainstream sheet. So there's one opinion that says that the knas is only for the guy who violated the chametz. You violated only chametz, we're gonna slap you across the face, you're not gonna be able to get enough from it. Everybody else can though. But look at the raya that the Ran is going to bring. The Ran is going to bring Gemara and Chulin. Again, second paragraph in number 3. The Gemara talks in Chulin talks about the following situation. Let's say you have a guy who's not really religious. He's a little religious, not too religious. He's not religious enough to sell his chametz to get rid of his chametz. So it's worth a lot of money. He doesn't want to lose it. But after Pesach, the Gemara says, if you want to buy from that guy, you could buy his chametz. You know why? Because he was probably machlif his chametz after Pesach. What does it mean he was machlif his chametz after Pesach? Rashi explains. He was machlif his chametz after Pesach means that after Pesach, he knows what does he have right now? Chametz shavar lav ha-Pesach. Chances are, even though he's not religious and he kept his chametz because he didn't want to lose it, chances are after Pesach, you know what he probably did? He probably swapped his 5 boxes of Cheerios with his next door neighbor, the guy, for his 5 boxes of Cheerios. Because even though he's not really religious, and he doesn't care if he violates Bayra Bayimatze, that's because he doesn't want to lose 5 boxes of Cheerios. But after Pesach, when he has the opportunity to just switch it with the guy, so then, since chances are, this, you see why he's a little religious, but not really religious. He's enough of a irreligious person that he wants to keep his 5 boxes of Cheerios. But he does care enough about it after Pesach, not to eat those boxes of Cheerios because Chametz Shavar Lav HaPesach, but he will switch it with the guy so that the guy will have the usher stuff and he'll have the kosher stuff. Sort of a funny thing, we don't have these kinds of people nowadays. Nowadays, if you're religious, you're religious. You're not religious, you're not religious. Then it was like, I don't mean like that, but I mean, when it comes to Pesach, most people, if they care about Chametz Shavar Lav HaPesach, they'll probably also care about Bayirah. So the Gemara in Chulin says that since we're assuming that after Pesach, this half-religious guy doesn't want to eat Chametz Shavar Lav HaPesach, so he probably switched his box of Cheerios with the guy's box of Cheerios, you could buy his food because it was owned by a guy over Pesach. It was the switched box of Cheerios. That's the Gemara. Let's think about the Gemara for 1 second.
You couldn't buy the guy's though.
If they wouldn't have switched, then it would have been, stayed by that original, we'll call him the Avarian. It's clear that it would have been Aser, even though You're just the next door neighbor who wants, you're just a new guy who wants to buy it from this person. In other words, the Gemara says, you're allowed to buy it from an Avarian who had chametz on Pesach, because after Pesach he probably switched it with the guy, and the chametz in his pantry is really the guy's chametz. Because they flipped it after Pesach. They traded his 5 box of chairs for his 5 box of chairs. Which means if he wouldn't have flipped it after Pesach with the guy, but he held on to his own chametz, you would not have been allowed to buy it. That's a very clear proof, hold on a second, that's a very clear proof that the chametz shavu of Pesach is also not only to the person who owns the chametz, but even to anybody else who would want to come buy it. So that's a proof that the Ran says, shows that chametz shavu of Pesach is also not only to the violator, but also to the community around him. Yeah?
Does that create a
Pas
Yisrael problem?
Let's talk about chametz that's not Pas Yisrael. Let's talk about Wheaties. Wheaties is not pas. Is not pas.
It could be could have been bread if you go ahead.
Okay, so let's go to, let's assume it's pas palto. That would be a different question. Pas and stroke question. Okay.
Is it possible you can't buy the guys then?
Sorry?
You can't buy the guys now because it belonged to a Jew and therefore it's
that's a good point, right.
You have to negotiate for all the Jews.
You have to so that would be you'd have to see what the numbers are. Okay. There's another important caveat. When we talk about Chametz Shavu'ot of HaPesach. So let me ask you a question. I go into this store that they didn't do a good mechira. It was a Jewish store. The company's owned by a Jewish. There's a big guy who runs the company, who owns the company. Let's say Levi Strauss sells chocolate chip cookies. I don't think they do. I think they sell jeans. But let's say you go to Macy's, used to be Jew, right? Macy's? All these big companies from like the early 1900s, they're all Jewish, right? Okay, so let's say you go to Macy's and you buy a box of chocolate chip cookies at Macy's. So, chametz shavu'ot of HaPesach. So that's definitely a problem. What if you buy something that's like ketchup that had vinegar in it, and the vinegar is from, is grain vinegar? Is that also in the parameters? Is that also subject to chametz shavu'ot of HaPesach?
Why not?
What kind of chametz? Are we only talking about breads, mizonos, cookies, breadsticks, pasta, or are we talking about anything that has chametz in it? Next point in the Ran, who points out that the only chametz that is subject to the Isser of Bayirah Bayamatz is only pure chametz, but not taroves chametz. That's the next point in the, by the underlined lines in the bottom of source number three, right before the five. Haval yadeir de taroves lo kanis. If it's taroves, there's no knas. How do you figure this out? If there will be, you have to do a little bit of math. How much chametz is in this can of ketchup? This jar of ketchup? Is there a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras? Meaning, is there enough wheat or vinegar, whatever, chametz vinegar, that if you would eat a kezayis achilas pras, you would get a kezayis of vinegar or chametz in this can of ketchup? Nah. If you eat a cookie, if you buy a box of cookies, so yes, because I have, if you eat a kedei achilas pras, half a loaf worth of cookies, you're definitely going to have a kezayis of chametz there. You have more than that. But if you have something that just has some vinegar in it, if you have something that just has a little bit of, you know, malt flavor, malt is from wheat, let's say buy Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies are not chametz. Yes. But it has malt in it, I think, for flavoring. So, I don't call me on this. I'm not really sure what the situation of Rice Krispies are. But it sounds to me that it's not chametz, it's kinyas. You're allowed to own kinyas. Oh, malt, you're not allowed to own that. But the amount of malt that they put into flavor, their crispies, the rice that they crisp, is just a little bit. And even if you would have half a loaf sized, kedei achilas pras worth of Rice Krispies, you wouldn't have a kezayis of malt there. So there's no, even if we assume Rice Krispies is chametz because of the malt that it has in it, if that's true or not, I'm not sure. But if it would have malt, then it does have, and it would be chametz, it would not have the din, the limitation of chametz shavu'ot of Pesach. You would be able to buy that from the Jewish store who didn't sell their chametz. That is the next reason, the next halakha. Fine. Now, mm-hmm. Let's look at one more source, number 6 on the next page, which brings us to the case of the onus. Remember I told you that case of the person who wanted to sell his chametz, wanted to destroy his chametz, and then just something happened, he wasn't able to. So are we going to counsel him? Let's see what the Rambam says, and this Rambam is paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 6, chametz, Hilchas Chametz Matzah, the first parak, Halacha Daf. Chametz Sha'avar Halacha Pesach Aser B'Hanayah La'olam. You might think it's only Aser B'Hanayah, I don't know, the first month they have to pay Pesach, forever, it's gone, pour it down the drain. They made it aser. Vafil, look at the last three words. Afil hinicha b'shkaga. You forgot. What do you mean you forgot to sell your chametz? You can't forget to sell your chametz. We're going to make a knas on you. Oh, but onus. Oh, onus is much more, you're not held accountable for onus. If you do something on Shabbos, that's shogeg, you bring a karmel chatas. You have to do tshuva. If there's an onus, you don't have to do tshuva. If you have to drive to the hospital, if you have to call Hatzalah on Shabbos and they take you to the hospital, do they have to bring a Karban Chatas?
No.
Absolutely not. Of course not. There's nothing wrong. Onus. They didn't do anything wrong. Still, even though you didn't do anything wrong, says the Rambam, they will still apply the Isser, the Knas of Bayrab Bayimatze. I'm sorry, of Chametz Shabbat of HaPesach. Fabulous Chumrah.
Isn't that a little bit different?
Let's say a person has a medicine that it's not a medicine. The doctor says he has diabetes and he has to eat cookies. And only these cookies work because of his allergies, whatever it is. Doctor says you must, for life-threatening situation, you must eat these cookies on Pesach. So, okay, Pesach is over, and the day after Pesach, the doctor said, you've been cured! Zman Chayru said, you've been cured! You don't have to eat these chametz, these cookies anymore! Does cookies that he has, does he have to, could he eat? Right. Are they kosher?
Throw those out and buy new ones.
Right. According to the Rambam, he does. Yeah, that's right, fascinating. Okay.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Now we're going to sort of get into the, that was all introduction to the sugya of Bali Rabbi Yamatzeh. Now we're going to get into the question that we have on hand as far as doing mechiras. So, again, let's talk about Conan Siegel or Spiegel. They do a mechiras chametz before Pesach, but they do operate their stores. And any big company, even if the company's executives or marketing director will be nice enough to do the mechira with the rabbi, because it's good for business, any big company is still going to be doing, it's still going to be selling, any of these big chains, even if there is that, even if the upper management of this, the primary shareholders of any big national chain is, even if they are Jewish, but not religious, they're still selling. If you, let's say ShopRite, I don't know, but let's say ShopRite is owned by a 51% owner by, a Jewish person. ShopRite's a carrying chametz on Pesach.
Sorry.
What?
I don't know what that's
saying. If you have a national chain that is, the primary shareholder is Jewish, so they'll go ahead, the rabbis in the neighborhood convinced him to sell his chametz. He sold his chametz. But that chain is still selling Cheerios on the week of Pesach. Easter week is a great week to sell Cheerios. Everybody's off, they're buying Cheerios.
So he's a ganav.
So that's the question. Is he only a ganav? Or did it make the sale, the fact that he's selling it?
It's either the sale is no good or he's a ganav, one or the other.
The Stei Chemed, among others, including Rav Soloveitchik, says the following. Here the Stei Chemed says it on his own, and then he says, and I also found that Maram Shik makes this point. I underlined it for you. Very clear and very simple. Ha'oses chore b'chametz shemachar la'ovei kol chavim v'mazalos. Somebody who does business, a Jew who does business with the chametz that he sold to the guy, mechiraso b'teila, period. Nothing else to say. You sell chametz to the guy and then you keep on selling it to whoever walks into your store? That was no sale. That's mevatel the sale. That's mevatel the sale. What kind of sale was that? And therefore, Im Kain, and if it was Mevatel the sale, look at this, because this means that you're going to be in really big trouble if you want to go to any of these supermarket chains. And if the Mechira was Batel, then guess who owned this Chametz on Pesach? The Jew. And if the Jew owns it on Pesach, then it is all Chametz Shavar Lav HaPesach. Wow. So what did this Stechemed, and quoting Maram Shik, and you should know Soloveitchik held this way as well, and this is how the OU Paskins, what happens if you have a company that's owned by a Jew that sells chametz that it has on Pesach after they did a mechira, it's all, the mechira is batel. It shows that you were, what do you mean? You sold your chametz the next day, it's like you're selling the guy the Brooklyn Bridge. And then how can you sell the chametz and then to the guy? And then 3 days later, you're selling it to every single guy who's standing online and you're at the checkout counter. And therefore, those big mechiras will be problematic.
Is it possible that what he doesn't sell on Pesach is okay to buy from Yevna? Maybe it's only what he sells.
No, it sounds from what he says. I hear what you're saying. It sounds from what he says that if somebody sells, makes a policy of selling the chametz that let's say they have 100,000 units of Cheerios, and they make it a policy of selling Cheerios over Pesach, and they sell 20,000 of them over Pesach, 80,000 left. Sounds like all 100,000 were chametz shavah lav pesach, because the mechira was meaningless. The whole mechira was nothing. All 100,000 are his, and all 100,000 are owned by a Jew on Pesach, and it's chametz shavah lav pesach, and all of them.
But maybe only what he sold was his, and therefore that's also.
I hear you, Svara. You're mechaber to Ramosha in the next line, but that's not what he says.
Okay, I know, but I hear the Svara.
Comes Ramosha and says against everything I just told you. Comes Ramosha. And this is a very important sheet of Rav Moshe because it's much more meka. And he says, let's think about this. You made a sale. Let's say you sell me your car. A week later, after you sell me your car, you really, 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 really want your car back. You want it back so badly, you love it. You realize it's hard for you to be without your car. So you go back to my house and take the car and drive away. What are you called? You're a ganav, of course. Just because you sold something and then you sell it to somebody else, that makes you, that the mechira didn't work? Mechira works. It's sold. Once there's a transfer of property, nothing goes, takes it, makes it go back. That's the point of a kinyan. A kinyan means that it's irrevocable. It's stuck where it is. That's the point of a kinyan. If you sell it to a guy, it's the guy's. So whatever you do, you could, you know, jump up and down, spit wooden nickels from today till tomorrow morning. You're not going to change the metzius that you sold it to a guy. Let's look at what Moshe says in Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Mem Tes. B'dvar hachen vanim shemochim chemtzim al yedei harav v'hu chashud lavor lischar b'chametz b'pesach. He did mechir his chametz with the rabbi, and he still goes ahead and sells his stuff. Pashut, I underline, she'ein zeh bitul al ha-mechira. Clearly, diametrically opposed to the stechemet that we just saw, to the Maram Shik we just saw, to the Salvechik who I quoted to you. Because he says very simply, he says, in the shtar it says, that I'm going to sell you. Okay, we won't get into that. Look at the next paragraph. We spoke that at also. If you... Yeah, we spoke that out also. The third paragraph of source number 9, he says, why would you say, what's the logic to say that the mechir is batel? Mechir is batel because you show you're not serious about it. You sold your chametz yesterday, and 2 days later you're selling to other people. That shows you weren't serious about selling to a guy. Says Rav Moshe, I don't know if that's true. Maybe your chashud, whatever you could do beheter, you would do beheter. Meaning, why do people sin? Because they want to get something out of it. But if they could get something and not have to sin, they would appreciate that. Right? If you could either win a lottery or steal the same $1 million, what would you choose? You'd choose to win the lottery. Why? Because if you could get the same thing and not have to do an avera, you'd rather do that. It could be if you really want money, you're going to steal anyway. So it says Ramosha, he wanted to sell his chametz. Why? Was he not serious? He was serious. It's an easy way to absolve himself of violating by Rabbi Matzah. Just walk over to the rabbi, sign your name at the bottom of paper, and you took care of your chametz. Okay, it's true that 3 days later that he's selling chametz because he's has a taiva to steal this chametz and to steal money and to whatever bad things he has a taiva to do. But that's because he has a taiva to do it. But what he sold it to the rabbi was just because it was so easy. He meant it. It's not that he didn't mean it, and that's why he sold the chametz later in the week. He meant it when he sold it to the rabbi, because it's an easy way to not have to violate averus. Oh, 3 days later when he starts selling it, it's because he wants the money, he wants to steal. It doesn't take away that he would rather get money by not having to steal, by not having to do an avera. And therefore it does not undermine the mechir. And now that's the first tshuva of Rav Moshe. The second tshuva of Rav Moshe goes out of his way to explain. Somebody gave him a hard time about this. The second tshuva of Rav Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Beis, Siman Sadi Aleph, in source number 10, he says, and it's a great thing to do a mechira, even to non-religious stores who are going to keep their store open. That means if there's a rabbi of a community, and he sees that there are stores, and there are irreligious storekeepers, and he knows you can't convince them to keep their store closed for a whole week, for 8 days, and close down three aisles in his store, they're not going to do that, give me a break. Should you still knock on that storekeeper's door and say, look, can I have 4 minutes of your time? Sit down with me, we'll do this religious thing, it's called Mechirat Chametz, and we'll sell your stuff to a guy, and then do whatever you want afterwards. But I'm telling you, the Jews will like it. And all the Jews, and I'll announce, then we'll take a picture, and you'll put a picture of you hugging you with your hand around the rabbi, doing Mechirat Chametz, and it'll be great for business. So should you do that? Says Rav Moshe, 100% yes. Look at the next one. The first toelis is that if you sell to the guy, whatever's left after Pesach is not going to be chametz shavar lefa Pesach, because it was owned by a guy. So all the Jews could buy in your store. And therefore all the Jews are going to buy after Pesach, whether Jewish or religious or not religious, they're not violating chametz shavar lefa Pesach. So the first person you're helping is all the Jewish consumers in the neighborhood. But more than that, you're helping yourself. The storekeeper is helping himself. What do you mean? He's going to turn around and steal? But listen to what the Rav Moshe says. Some very interesting things. I underlined it because it blew me away. Is there any difference, Rav Osai, between somebody who doesn't sell their chametz, who has one bottle of liquor, or has 40 bottles of liquor? Two Jews, neither of them sold their chametz. One guy happens to have a lot more bottles of liquor in his house. Two Jews, one guy happens to have a lot more bottles of Cheerios. Does one get a bigger Aveira when a Pesach comes? I would have thought. They both owned a Kezais of Chametz and Pesach. They both get an Aveira. Look at what the Igros Moshe says. I underlined it in source number 10. Yavar al kol Kezais bilav. Every Kezais that you own, if you don't get rid of your Chametz, that means that CNS, if they wouldn't have sold their Chametz, do you know how many pounds of food they have? Do you know how many thousands of pounds, if not tens or maybe even hundreds of pounds of cakes and cookies and cereals they have in their possessions? That means that poor Mr. Cohen and poor Mr. Siegel are going to get 39 malchos times, how many kezaisim are in a pound? Let's say 16. That's 39 malchos for 1 pound of food. That's we're talking like 600 malchus per box of Cheerios. And for 10,000 boxes of Cheerios, we're talking like millions of malchus just for one Pesach. That's not assuming that they drove anywhere. We're not talking about, you know, driving and any other Yisrael rights. We're just talking about owning chametz on Pesach. Oh, but let's say you did a Mechiras chametz, this non-religious Mr. Conan Siegel, who's may not be religious and will continue doing business, but they sell their chametz. Guess what? How much chametz do they own on Pesach? None. Or whatever they buy, they happen to buy a few 2,000 pounds on the Thursday of Chol HaMoed. New Shimon came in, okay, so 2,000 pounds. But not 50,000 pounds, not 150,000 pounds. It's incredible. For him, it's great. He's minimizing the violation of by Rabbi Matz because he's not owning the chametz. You know what? But it's true. Whatever he does end up selling, he stole. Okay, so he saved himself on 100,000 pounds. He ended up stealing. He made 30,000 pounds of sales on Pesach. So he still saved himself 70,000 pounds of Isser. Because whatever he stole, whatever he sells, yeah, that he ends up stealing and taking as his own, and he'll get in trouble for that. Now Rav Moshe says something very interesting. Let's think for a minute. What's worse? Owning chametz, which is passive, right? You come into Pesach, and the chametz, it was yours 3 days ago, and it's still yours. So your violation by Rabbi Matzah is a lav sheh, ein bo maisa. But when you sell it on Pesach, you're doing a maisa v'kumva seh, you're getting up and stealing. If you would have kept it for yourself, then you're violating owning chametz, and you're selling, but it's yours, so there's no gzela. So you're violating owning chametz, but it's passive. Now that the guy, now that this Jew is selling his chametz to the rabbi, through the rabbi to the guy, and then on Pesach he's going to sell it to his customers, he's doing an avera of gzela bekum vaaseh. Maybe an avera bekum vaaseh is worse than violating just passively, allowing the chametz to remain in his possession, otherwise known as bal yirah bal yamatzeh. Says Rav Moshe, beautiful chiddush. And toward the top of page 3, he says, you could compare apples and oranges. You could compare apples and apples. You could compare oranges and oranges. You could compare, you could say that it's worse to do a lav sheh yesh b'maisa. That's worse than a lav sheh b'maisa. An active avera is worse, of course, worse than a passive avera. However, what did we say before? That you violate only chametz for every single kazayas that you own. So let's say he has 150 pounds. You're talking about 400,000, 500,000 averas of bal yirah bal yamatzeh. How much is he going to be active, violated bekum vaaseh? 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 pounds. That's still a lot less. Even though it would be a bigger avera. You're right, it is a big avera to do a kum vaaseh, to steal it, because you sold it to the guy. But it's still not as bad as the much larger quantity of a lower level of iser, which is interesting. So I'll just repeat that outside because it's a complicated point. He's saying that it's true if you sell to a guy and then keep your business open, you're stealing on Pesach, you're stealing, which is actively stealing, that's worse. But the fact that you're only selling a certain amount and you're saved for the bayrah a much larger amount, that makes you better off selling your stuff to the guy. I want to finish off with another point. In the Chelkis Yaakov, Yaakov Breish, in source number 11, he says, what's the halacha if I put a gun to your head and I say, sell me your car? I put a gun to your head, I say, sell me your car, and I press $10,000 into your palm. And you have no choice but to take it, because you don't want a bullet hole in your skull. The halacha is you bought it. You were forced. And it worked. What? The mechir works. The mechir works. Let's say, now in your mind, did you want to sell it?
No.
In your mind, you didn't want to sell it. But you got money for it, right? If you get money for something, then even if in your mind you don't want to sell it, it worked. Let's think about what happened with this guy and this Jew, this non-religious storekeeper who's selling his chametz to the guy. Does he want to sell his chametz to the guy? Let's say really he doesn't. But did he? Yeah, the guy gave him money for it. The guy did a mechira. He sold it, so it's a good sale. I don't care if you really don't mean it or you really don't want to. It's a good sale. That's what Yaakov Breish says. Now he says something additionally very interesting. Listen to this svara. You know the story you've seen in the newspapers over the past few years of this, you know, this Beis Din, these rabbis who wanted to get a guy to give a get, and they convinced him to give a get in a way that the attorney general wasn't so happy, like with baseball bats and cattle prods and electrocution equipment. You know those stories?
Yeah.
Why are you allowed to force him to give a get? After all, the halacha says that it can't be get me'usa. He has to be willing to give a get. Famous Rambam. The Rambam says, kofen oso ad shiyom arotzani. You force him until he says, I want to? Does he want to or not?
Deep down.
So that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, well, there's a mitzvah to do. Deep down, you want to do mitzvahs. And therefore, if you say yes, then it worked. Well, this non-religious seller, what are we worried about? He's going to sell his chametz on third day of Pesach, and fourth day of Pesach, and fifth day of Pesach. That shows that he didn't want to do mechira. Deep, deep, deep down, what does he want? Right, deep down he wants to be, he doesn't want to be over Vali Rabbi Yonasi. So, he really doesn't. So he sold the chametz to the guy, and you tell me that he didn't mean it? Sure he meant it. Deep down he really meant it. Interesting svara. That's another interesting svara. Okay. There's one, I want to just tell you, fabulous kula, before we sum up how things actually work with CNS and Targum, Shop and Stop. One very interesting kula, in source number 12, Mishnah Halachas, Rav Menashe HaKatan Klein, he says, maybe the whole, we could save this whole sugya, we could buy at any supermarket you want to buy from, if the owner of the store is not religious. Why is there an Isser of Bayi Rabbi? Why is there an Isser of Chametz Rav Olav HaPesach? That is a knas. That's what we started with. What's the knas? I don't want you to violate Bayi Rabbi Matzeh. So I'm going to tell you that if you violate Bayi Rabbi Matzeh, you won't be able to eat the food afterwards. When does it work to have that kind of conversation with somebody? Somebody who, if you tell him, you better not do Bayi Rabbi Matzeh, because otherwise I'm not going to let you eat it, afterwards, then there's a knas. But if the guy couldn't care less, the guy's a mumar, the guy's a... He doesn't do any mitzvahs, he doesn't care about anything. Such a person says, B'menashe Katan Klein, you can't say a knas on somebody who doesn't care about the first thing. If it doesn't bother him to eat Chametz Rav Olav HaPesach, it's not going to bother him to do Bayra either. So such a person, maybe there's no knas at all in the first place on somebody who's entirely not religious. Yeah, could be. Fine. He has some proofs which we don't have time to go to, but that's just a fascinating kula. I want to finish off now just practically what happened in the past 2 years with CNS. So Rabbi Teitz, like I told you, relied on Ramosha's heter, which we just learned, who said that you can sell chametz to a guy even if you're going to continue selling, keeping your store open. Not like others, but Rav Moshe said that. That's what Rabbi Teitz did. But a lot of people gave Rabbi Teitz flack that he's still selling the chametz on Pesach. Many poskim hold that that's still, it's not a real sale. Still chametz Rav Olav HaPesach. So what they did for the past 2 years is the Chaf Kei arranged a new deal with CNS. Not only Mechiras Chametz, because that's not so great because they're continuing to sell and not to operate with their Chametz over Pesach, CNS, Erev Pesach, sells not just their Chametz, but the whole company. The whole company to a guy. They sell it for the week to a guy, of course, for a down payment. Down payment could be $10. Outstanding balance is $2 billion, $150 million, whatever it is, $57 million, I don't know. We can work that out after Pesach. If he doesn't want to give back the company, he'll just pay me the cash value of the company. I'm sure Mr. Cohen and Mr. Spiegel will be very happy to just take a check for $2 billion and let him have the company. And I'm sure that won't be such a, you know. And if he can't do it, so they'll probably just end up getting their company back, which is also okay. So what do they do? This new thing that they just did 2 years ago, started last year and this year, if you sell the company, so who owns the company? The guy for the week. That means who owns the chametz coming in? Who owns the chametz going out? Who owns all the business that they're doing with the chametz? The guy. So there's no issue. That's why on the email that I sent out, I included Target and Stop and Shop on the list of okay stores to buy chametz in. You should know that Rav Heinrich of the Star K does not like what I just told you. He says, come on, give me a break. You're selling the whole company. It's not the whole company. He doesn't like the exact details of what he doesn't like. I'm not sure. There are numerous things you could argue.
If someone really wanted to take it over, they go to the guy and say, okay, we're going to go into partnership.
Right, I'll be a silent partner.
Buy it, bring it to court. The court would say it's legally binding, and that's it. It's done.
Okay. So that's the issue. That's the question at hand. That's why sort of Heinemann doesn't like this deal that was done with CNS. With buying the whole company. Other poskim are fine with it. I think we're dealing with a knas derabanan. And many Pesachim are fine with it, and it's done not just... And even Rav Moshe says, even if you would, Rav Moshe says, even if they would do business, you could still... Well, there's a different issue. I have to... I'm sorry, we have to finish now. But the other issue is that we're worried not just that the stuff that they sold on Erev Pesach to the guy, oh, maybe they were mevatel that mechira because they kept on selling chametz. It could be a lot worse than that. The new chametz that they bought on Pesach, which is l'chol hadayis, chametz shel Avraham Pesach, that might be on the shelves in our stores. That is taken care of by this new mechira of the mechira of the entire company. That problem is solved.
Who bought the stuff from the company?
Stop and Shop, Target.
Who owns that?
Who owns Target?
The guy bought it.
Doesn't matter if Target. It doesn't matter.
It's not in
the park. The fact that the Jew sold it. That the Jew was taking possession of it, Mr. CNS was taking possession of it to sell it to Target or to sell it to Stop and Shop. So even if Target and Stop and Shop are not Jewish, but Cohen and Spiegel, who are giving them those Cheerios on the second day of Chol HaMoed, by taking them away from the guy that they sold to, they're taking them for themselves to sell to Target and Stop and Shop.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.